Well, hello everyone, and welcome to this week's edition to Riding the Storm Out. Of course, I am Paul Blair. This is my cohort, Dan Fisher. Together, we not only lead the Liberty Pastors Network, but we also pastor Liberty Church here in Edmond. And of course, last time we were on this broadcast, we brought up the discussion of just how divided we have become as a people and as a country. Quite frankly, Dan, when you consider the world that we grew up in, I mean, you grew up in Arkansas, I grew up here in Oklahoma. We are living in an attitude that I didn't know even existed. I've never seen so much dissension between people.
Yeah. And you know, Paul, I think we've gotten to the place where we have to actually discuss the obvious.
Yep.
No one wants to, there's not a one of us that wants to be perceived as unpatriotic.
Mm-hmm.
We want to love America. And in fact, you and I do, but I don't think the America that we love exists anymore in a large portion of what is modern America. I think that the left has been so successful in a lot of the states that I think we're just living in a different, we're living in a different world, and I don't think we any longer have a republic. I think that went away a long time ago.
I agree. And honestly, I think the last breath was exhausted when the Supreme Court did not get involved when Texas and some 20 states were suing Georgia over election integrity.
Yeah.
You know, that is one of the few reasons that there is a Supreme Court.
It's actually spelled out that that's their responsibility to do.
Yet they declined. And at that point, we really ceased to exist at all as a republic. And the reality is we've forgotten what we were in our birth certificate.
Well, we have. And, you know, what we're facing right now, and the folks watching this know it, every 4 years we have this huge pendulum swing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every now and then we'll get 8 years. The problem is if you get a tyrant, then you don't want 8 years of that. And so what we're really looking at is every 4 to 8 years, the pendulum swings hard left or hard right. And there is no people, there's no church, there's no marriage, there's no family, and there's certainly no republic that can endure that for an extended period of time.
And as we've talked about before, and we teach in our pastors' camps, the reality is the president wasn't supposed to be the emperor in chief.
No, certainly not.
In the first 36 years of America's existence under the Constitution, the first five presidents issued a total of 15 executive orders.
15.
And 10 presidential vetoes.
Yeah, and that's not even a good day for Biden, as
you
said.
So we totally perverted what the office of president was supposed to be.
No, exactly.
But when you think about what we are, you know, you got to go back and find out what exactly was America supposed to be. Well, of course, the Constitution says that we are guaranteed to be a republic.
Right.
We're supposed to be governed by law, not by men.
Yeah, we're a union.
Well, we're a union governed by law, and we no longer are either right now.
No, that's exactly right. We're not a union.
And
there's
then
no
you
question
look
about
at
it.
The worldview that we were built on. And see, this is where I think we really deviated from the path.
No, there's no question
about
that. In
the early 60s, when the Supreme Court took prayer and Bible out of public education, that didn't mean that a child couldn't still pray silently. But the reality is that ripped the worldview that our whole society was built on.
Yeah.
You know, when Thomas Jefferson talks about natural law, that obviously the fundamental truth of natural law is the existence of God and God's will.
In fact, Locke said that. Locke said that the natural law he was talking about is the law of God.
So we've ripped that
out. That's exactly right.
Now we've got however many genders you want to have. We've got baby murder is a constitutional right. No, it's not.
No.
You know, redistributing wealth is a constitutional right.
Yeah.
Paying off school loans. No, it's not. That's actually not anywhere according to our law.
And I think what we've got to begin to discuss as leaders is we have to begin to discuss what do you do when you reach a place where you're just simply irreconcilably divided.
Mm-hmm.
You have such differences that there's really no way to bridge that chasm. You know, when you mentioned just some of the things you just mentioned, and you add to that murdering the preborn, you cannot own a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obvious that the left wants to strip us of every. I just heard Senator Ron Johnson talking a while ago, and they asked him, you know, he's in a real race there in Wisconsin, probably will win his seat back. But they asked him, they said, what is the end goal of the left? And he said, well, it's easy. Tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be a single party, to have single control over this country. Well, that's not a republic. That's anything but a republic. So when you begin to talk about separation, people start to get, you know, a little bit antsy, and they begin to think, oh my gosh, these guys want to start a civil war and, and they want to repeat the 1860s.
Nope.
But the truth is, what I would really like to repeat is the 1770s.
Yes.
Without the war,
our
if
liberty.
We could.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I read this the last time, but I think it's worthwhile for me to read again. These are the very first words of the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another.
Yep.
And to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Well, there's a reason why the Declaration begins with those words. They had reached a point where I think we actually are today. I'm not even sure that we're not further. Where they were irreconcilably divided with the king and the parliament. And they had tried. And they didn't just try for a few months. They had tried for years and years to bridge that gap, to find some common ground. And those in power literally were poking them in the eye, saying, look, we can do this, and here's how we're going to show you. We can pass any law we want and make it only binding on the colonists, not on us here in Great Britain. Well, that was intolerable, the Intolerable Acts.
Sure.
And so my point is, the very framers that we celebrate, at least half of us celebrate them, and the very document that we celebrate every July the 4th begins with separation language. So I've argued that even though the word secession has become a dirty word, the Declaration of Independence is a separation. It is a secessionist document.
And we celebrate political divorce every
political divorce. And I think, Paul, that we've got to begin to realistically discuss, what do you do? And I don't know that it's half, but let's just, for the sake of argument, let's say half. Let's say that half of the country is left. I mean, they're left. They want leftist policies. They want murder of the preborn. They want total government control.
LGBT, transgender indoctrination of our
no
children.
No gun ownership, no free speech. Everything is limited. They want censorship on social media. They want all of this stuff. So let's just say that that's true for a moment, that it's 50-50. So what does the other 50 do? Do we just say, well, okay, then I guess that's the way it is? Or do we finally say, you know what, there are some lines in the sand that we're just not going to cross. We're not going to do this. So Abraham Lincoln, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of Lincoln, but Abraham Lincoln said something that was so correct in early in his political history when he was running for president. He quoted Jesus, and he said, a house or a nation divided against itself cannot stand. We either must be all slave or no slave, but we cannot be half one and half the other. Now, unfortunately, because of the way culture worked in the 1860s, they ended up shooting at one another. I believe there were other solutions to that division. For instance, I believe if the Confederacy had not fired on Fort Sumter, but had waited, maybe you'd have seen a very different outcome in history. And a lot of people say, well, how could you coexist? Well, just like Europe has for centuries. Their borders touch, and yet different governments. And then I've had other people say, well, Dan, if we separated, what about the states that aren't, you know, connected to the other states? Well, Hawaii's not connected to Oklahoma.
Alaska.
We got
the whole country.
So
that's a perfect example.
So it works just fine. So I think the discussion has to begin among level-headed people. What do we do when we're just irreconcilably divided? Now, let me ask you, have you ever had a couple in your office for counseling, and it was obvious to you that you couldn't fix their marriage? So what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, even the Bible, even under the law, it made allowances for divorce, just divorce in certain situations. Never the design, never the intention. Whenever there was a couple that got married, it was obviously there was never intended for it to not succeed. But sometimes it doesn't. And rather than wind up having the wife poison the husband or the husband throw the wife off a cliff, a divorce is a better idea. So that's what avoids further hostilities. And as you said, in the Declaration, which quite frankly It was the colonists that were proud British citizens
yeah.
that were being denied their legal rights by their own government.
Yeah. And they had a constitution and an English Bill of Rights.
And they appealed and they appealed and they appealed. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, in fact, in the Declaration, it states that the purpose of having a civil government is to secure our unalienable, God-given rights.
God-given rights.
And whenever any government says any
government.
In their case, they had a king.
Right.
In our case, we have a corrupt presidential minister, a deep state in Washington.
Yeah, and Congress is just as corrupt.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever any form of government becomes tyrannical in its goal.
Yeah, so that doesn't exclude America.
That's right.
You know, and again, Paul,
that is America. That's what Thomas Jefferson was saying.
It is. Yeah. And
so they were concerned about when they drafted the Constitution. That's the reason we had the first 10 amendments.
Yes.
There was concern that the federal government could become
usurp its authority. Exactly right.
So, Mr. Jefferson, what was your solution if that were to happen whenever any form of government?
Yeah. And he gives those three levels. Alter, mm-hmm. abolish, or throw it off, mm-hmm. DEFCON 3, 2, and 1. And so I think that people like you and I need to be instrumental in beginning this discussion. Now, you broached the subject mm-hmm. at our Liberty Pastors boot camps because you talk about the morning of day one what the framers intended.
Right.
But what we now have,
right.
and I don't think very many people watching us would disagree that what we have now is actually substantially very different
right.
from what we had then and what they intended.
We aren't supposed to be ruled, even if it's a conservative court, we aren't supposed to be ruled by a 5-4 decision of lawyers in black robes.
No.
We aren't supposed to be ruled by an emperor in chief every 4 or 8 years. We're supposed to have states to where if Oklahoma is very conservative and wants a minimal tax base and has conservative values, Oklahoma can be Oklahoma. If California wants to have socialism, California, within their borders, they can be whatever they want to be. Actually, they can't because they're guaranteed a republic under the Constitution.
Yeah.
However, in theory, some states can be liberal if they want to be.
Right.
Other states can be conservative. But we work together for our common defense and our general welfare. That is the only way 330 million people are going to be able to function in agreement. Either they are ruled by an emperor or we have a union of free states
regional government.
Right, right.
Because we're too diverse.
Right.
I mean, people that live in Vermont are very different from people who live in Arkansas or Oklahoma or
Texas.
We're
seeing it now.
Oh, yeah. They're very, very different. And so what do you do? Because the framers never intended for a one-size-fits-all, but that's what we have now.
Right.
Undeniably, we have a one-size-fits-all, and we all know a one-size-won't-fit-all.
Right.
So we have these tensions, and for me, I am not uncomfortable with discussing solutions because I don't know what solutions are really viable. The solution we've been pursuing now for a lot of years is, well, we'll just wait till the next election and we'll elect more of our people.
Yep.
And that's what everybody's counting on right now in November.
And we've discovered one of the blessings of 2016 is we've discovered that the deep state owns Washington, D.C.
It's exactly
when
right.
When we had Republican control of Congress, that Congress wouldn't do anything.
No, and they had a president that would have signed it.
You remember they tried to repeal Obamacare 70 times while Obama was still in office.
What a great example.
Knowing that he wasn't going to allow that to happen, he would simply veto it.
Right.
And they didn't have a veto-proof majority.
Right.
But as soon as President Trump was elected and he had somebody that would sign that.
And the Republicans were in charge.
The Republican Congress stayed the same. We still were in charge for 2 years. They wouldn't pass the same deal because they're controlled by the deep state. It's
right.
not about us.
Yeah.
It's about them retaining power.
Yeah. And so I think when pastors like you and I are trying to grapple with this and we're trying to look at our history and what was intended and what we now have and what the future looks like. One side, and I'll just say it, the left, the Democrats have shown they are willing to lie, to steal, to cheat, to do whatever they have to do. They'll speak out of both sides of their mouths. Just the other day, Sean Hannity read through a list. Mm-hmm. I would imagine somewhere between 15 and 20 quotes from major Democrat leaders who were saying that Trump was an illegitimate president, he had stolen the election, it was fraudulent, rigged the Electoral College, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they were all saying this with impunity.
Right.
But then we see severe
after 2020
election irregularities. Mm-hmm. One of our senators, Senator Lankford, mm-hmm. said there's no question that there are great evidences mm-hmm. of fraud, yet he flips and mm-hmm. votes to certify the election. But when we start saying that, we're called terrorists, mm-hmm. a threat to the republic. Isn't it funny how one side can say whatever they want to say, but the other side doesn't have the same liberty?
We no longer are governed by honesty, morality, by
there
biblical morality. It's all about the ends justify the means.
And that's power and money.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly
and right. You know, and if you look at it, Paul, I think that the big government guys have been at this for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. We see it as since the 60s or 70s or even more recent than that. But if you go back to the early 1800s, mm-hmm. you have the Supreme Court bestowing upon themselves yep. this ability to interpret the Constitution, mm-hmm. judicial review. Mm-hmm. Now, some would argue that that's a proper role. I think it's not, because if you have the right to interpret the rule book, mm-hmm. guess who's going to win?
Mm-hmm. You.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you see this, and then you see all of these other things that the federal government has done, the IRS,
yep.
which is now the brown shirts
yep.
of the left.
Yep.
And then you have federal withholding. I guarantee you, if people had to write that federal check every month mm-hmm. instead of having it withheld.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But see, they've played tricks on us to the point that now they are so empowered. Now, you take, for instance, what President Biden did just a few days ago. He just unilaterally declares that all of these college debts are going to be forgiven.
Yeah, he doesn't have that authority. It's not his money.
Even Nancy Pelosi mm-hmm. said mm-hmm. just a few months ago that the president doesn't have mm-hmm. that kind of authority. But the moment her guy says we can do it, then she flips and says, oh, yeah, this is mm-hmm. the greatest thing I've ever heard of. So for me, the option is either to keep doing what we've been doing, which I don't even think is honest anymore, the election system.
Right.
Or we look at other options. And well, I think it's time that we begin to have those discussions.
Let's be honest. If President Trump was to be reelected in 2022,
right.
you would have probably 15, maybe a few more states that say, we want out. We do not want
see, it would be okay then, though.
Well, we don't want the tyranny that's being implemented right now with 87,000
exactly.
new IRS agents spending money that he doesn't have the authority to. Where do we get off spending $50 billion to Ukraine and
right.
calling their president the new George Washington? Ukraine is the most corrupt
country
they're very, on the planet.
And Mitch McConnell is talking now more money
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
with this new budget a crisis that's coming up here at the end of this month in September. He's saying that the top priority for all of them is more money to Ukraine.
So you're saying the path that we're on right now we know is destined to fail.
I think it. In fact, I think mm-hmm. the evidence is that it has failed.
Yeah, it has failed.
And we're just waiting for it to collapse.
And the
you
reality
keep
is,
doing this.
Reality is, Dan, we celebrate the idea of political divorce every 4th of July.
Every 4th of
we
July.
We celebrate it every Thanksgiving when
the separatists
Pastor John Robinson actually wrote a letter divorcing himself from the Church
yeah.
of England, and that
exactly.
was political. There was no separation yeah. of church and state.
And
we celebrate Constitution Day, where we had a political divorce from our current form of government.
No, it's exactly right.
Where we created the Constitution and threw out the Articles of Confederation.
And really, they didn't honestly have
the
authority
to do that. No, they didn't have the authority
to
do that either.
But if you think about the separatists that we call pilgrims, mm-hmm. you know, they had been in Holland, as you know,
yep.
over 10 years before
yep.
they come to North America. Most people think they left Great Britain, came yep. to America. They didn't. But when they did leave England a little over 10 years before they came to North America, they broke all kinds of English laws to do that. And the mm-hmm. first time they attempted it, a bunch of
arrested.
Them were arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to understand our heritage, that literally the fight for freedom is practically generational. Mm-hmm. We may be a little bit of the exception to the rule that we've gone a few generations without having to fight for freedom. But those guys were right. willing to go against the norm, to even break the law, to be free. So what does that say for us today? And, you know,
well, I think to summarize, we've got to remember that the purpose of government, according to God, of civil government, is to punish the evildoers and protect those that do well, that we may live peaceably in all godliness.
Yeah.
In the United States of America, we were supposed to have sovereign states. We created a republic, which is the rule of law, not rule by men or a king or a lineage of kings. We're ruled by the law.
Or of a majority.
And we're of a majority. We're not a democracy. We're a
yeah.
republic. And now, as the Declaration says, whenever any government becomes tyrannical, we have the unalienable right, according to God, to alter it, to abolish it, or to throw it off. And really, political divorce is something that needs to be discussed.
It does.
It needs to be discussed.
Could I say one last thing, and then we'll wrap it up? I think we do want to clarify, though, that we're not suggesting that individual people start seceding. We're not pushing vigilantism or anything like that.
Ron DeSantis in Florida is a great example.
Perfect example. But see, that's a state.
Yep, that's a state.
And see, in our minds, a state is a sovereign entity. Yep. And so when people ask me, well, Dan, what do we do? Just load up our guns and start going down on the main street? Well, who are you going to shoot? I mean, first of all, we don't want to shoot anybody.
Yeah, right.
The way we do it is through the states.
Right.
And if you look at the way our states are created and how we operate, the states have the authority to do that. And so I would suggest to people that we need to begin to talk in those terms. We're not talking about individuals just loading up and
you know
declaring,
what?
We in rebellion against
if
America.
If there was a mature political divorce, we'd have, let's just say we had half the states that wanted to keep the Declaration of Independence and keep liberty, and say half that liked going this direction down a leftist rabbit hole. We would have about, 180 million people.
Right.
We'd have about an $8 trillion annual budget.
About
we'd
the third
military.
Largest in the world
we'd have
right
deep
now,
water
right?
ports.
Yeah.
And it would quickly go to number one because we would have a true free market.
No, it's exactly.
And that's where all the money is talking about. So we're not
talking.
And you know what? Just like right now, we sometimes will travel to Israel and go on a trip or go to Mexico or go to Canada. Well, guess what? Next time you decide to go see the Pacific Ocean in California, you may have to show your passport
as
you enter the state. That's okay. We can still buy,
trade,
do business, and be friends, but we don't have to be ruled by leftists for those of us that still honor God and honor liberty.
Yeah. So the purpose of this discussion was to illustrate how we need to begin to throw these options out on the table, right? So that ultimately we can talk them through, and maybe there's something better that would come along. Our framers did this for years until they came up with what they did. So I would suggest that just doing what we've been doing and expecting a different outcome is the definition of insanity.
Exactly.
And we better start looking at other options and talking about those, or I fear we will be shooting at one another.
Buddy, it's been a great conversation.
Yeah.
And I hope you've enjoyed today's topic. And thank you for joining us for this week's edition of
Riding the Storm Out.
We look forward to seeing you next time as we are still right in the middle of a raging storm. So until next time, may God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you guys.